Hi, everyone. I'm Sandy Robinson, your host of RevOps Unboxed. Today, I'm going to do this episode a little differently. First of all, I want to reflect on season two. We had a great lineup of guests on season two. We did 8 episodes. We talked a lot about the struggles in revenue operations, working together, the different aspects of roles and organizations, and I think we just had a really great, robust season. One of the common themes across the different folks that have been on the podcast was their struggles with alignment and alignment in organizations. As a RevOps leader, this is something near and dear to my heart. Organizations across the world are structured differently. Every organization has a different hierarchy. They have different C-suite roles. And this affects revenue operations a whole lot. As people know who are listening, we tend to work with different folks in the organization because we support the full customer lifecycle. And in some companies, revenue operations may sit under the chief revenue officer. But the chief revenue officer may not have marketing under them, for example. So we think about that. Maybe there's a chief marketing officer and a chief revenue officer, and the revenue operations person reports up to the chief revenue officer. So we think about processes and systems. All these things can start to get out of control when you start having different silos responsible for those. And while we can't prevent organizations from having silos, and I think that whole thing about breaking down silos is a complete myth, we need to figure out how to work together. So in that example, with a chief marketing officer, maybe there's a marketing ops person, maybe there's a BDR function that lives over there, and revenue operations must work with that team to ensure the handoff processes work well. That starts from the inbound process, right? So however that works, maybe it comes from the website in some sort of an inbound form. Maybe you're using HubSpot that comes directly through HubSpot, or maybe there's a tool like Pardot, Marketo, or any number of tools out there that are capturing these inbound leads. And the BDRs are then using those leads. And at some point, they need to get passed over to sales, right? So there's that friction point that can happen. There's a handoff process. And if you've ever heard of Matthew May talks a lot about Lean Six Sigma concepts. I have a Lean Six Sigma background. And one of the things is removing waste, right? So if there's a process of handoff, there can be waste, which is friction, and that can essentially slow down deals, right? That can create additional days, additional friction in the process. So a RevOps leader, you must then work with the marketing team who is in a different part of the organization on their tools and how they connect together. But what if there is a challenge there? What if there's some animosity or there's some friction with the people? It happens, right? People have jobs to worry about. They have their livelihood. They have their reputations. And sometimes those things are tied around their metrics or the tools that they work with. So I always say, appeal to their greed, right? So what does a marketing leader care about when they're working with leads? Maybe they're doing trade shows, any sort of inbound process or outbound process. They care about MQLs. That's a pretty common thing. How many MQLs might be something marketing is measured by? So how do we help them maximize those MQLs when they come over to sales? Because again, we're trying to drive revenue. As a revenue operations leader, we should be trying to drive revenue from the organization regardless of where the roles sit. So now we have to think about the process, right? So what are the steps? How does this map out to your customer journey? And how does this lead then go from an MQL to a sales opportunity? Or it might be an SQO in your organization. And then how now does this handoff process work? There might be training and enablement involved. All these things need to be coordinated. But we have to not get caught up in what is a reporting structure, because there's no perfect way to do it. There's no company that is set up exactly the same. We'd love for it to be perfect, where revenue operations is in charge of marketing operations, customer success operations, sales operations, all the ops. But that's just not how it works in the real world. We have to then focus on the customer journey. So that's one piece of the customer journey, is that from MQL to your opportunity process and whatever that looks like. So making sure those systems aligned has to be something that you both care about, right? Because they care about the success of your MQL. So again, going back to appealing to their greed, how are you going to help them maximize what their responsibilities are and look good? Not that you want to take something away, and then how can you work together? So I don't care if you're a mid-level leader, if you're an individual contributor, if you have a VP for a title, but all these things need to work in collaboration across the organization. So I'm going to give you an example of a project management or implementations. So if you are in any organization that requires some sort of implementation, whether you're a SaaS organization, enterprise sales, there's usually some sort of a, you've sold the deal, and then there's a process to go live. So it may be long. If you have a large custom type of build in an enterprise sale, or maybe very quick to go live. But a lot of times there's some sort of a gap. And that team doesn't always fall under the revenue organization. So for example, in my world, we have an implementations team. And one of the things that we try to work on is shortening the time from when a salesperson closes a deal to when it goes live. Now, you know, I don't have to work with the team because they don't report up to our organization. It's not in my job description, but I'm here to drive revenue. So working with that team is critical. So one, establishing the relationship with the leader of implementations, whoever that is in your organization or project management, whatever the function is called, is an important relationship. So understanding how that works. Where is that sales to implementations handoff process? When does customer success get involved? How are these all coordinated? So as a RevOps leader, that's your job, is one, to coordinate that process to make sure you all work together. And then, establishing these relationships. So how can we make that smoother? How can we get implementations in sooner? How can we get people using the same technologies, right? It's a matter of, again, appealing to their greed. They care about fewer meetings. They're going to care about getting information from the salespeople that's relevant so they don't have to go back and redo the work. You know, how many times does a project manager have to go back and ask a bunch of discovery questions that the salesperson failed to do? So we have to make sure that we're aligning what are their needs and what do they need from the handoff to get the next piece of the process. And how do we get that customer introduced into it? And how do we have all the information in the same place, in the same system, so we're all reading from the same chapter? And that requires revenue operations to then coordinate outside of their department, outside of their span of control or whatever that is, into another department. So you just need to do what is required to get the job done. And in order to do that, RevOps at all levels have to be great collaborators. They have to be great communicators. They have to be great internal sellers. I'm thankful for my sales background and all of my sales training experience over the years because I try to apply that to internally. How do I help to identify the problems that they are having? What are their business problems? What are their pains? And how do I teach them how working together and collaborating on a singular solution is going to help and benefit them, and it's going to save them time, which nobody likes meetings. So I see this all the time. You have to have meeting, email, all this stuff in order to collaborate on a deal, when maybe if you guys are all working together and looking in the same place, then you would have a lot fewer meetings on your calendar and save a whole bunch of time. And it drives me nuts when we have like 10 executives on a call about a deal and you're thinking like, gosh, what is the hourly rate we are paying for this meeting right now when we can be out actually getting customers if we would just work together, put our egos aside and collaborate regardless of where you sit in the organization, regardless of where your title is, check your ego out the door and work together. But again, it goes back to the responsibility of RevOps to make that happen. This is your job. You have to identify that. Nobody else is going to get it. Most organizations don't even get what you do, so you have to teach them. I've been known to put out little videos to explain what RevOps is and teach people continually because I get this a lot. Well, sales does something different, and this is what, you know, the customer, part of the organization does or whatever. And It's like, no, this is a company thing. This is not a sales thing. This is not a marketing thing. This is a company thing. This is a customer thing. How can we put the customer first, put the customer in the center? Again, going back to that customer buying journey. Where are everybody's roles? Where do they sit in the organization? How does this work? And then how does that technology all connect together? And I want to talk about the technology now. So this is something I'm really passionate about. This whole idea of revenue technology or RevTech. And I've defined this as any system that directly or indirectly influences the customer buying journey at any stage of the life cycle. So these are tools that people don't traditionally think of as impacting the customer journey, like a project management tool. In a prior organization, I have found that we had two instances of Monday that were within the marketing org. We had product using RoadMonk, and then we had the project management team using Smartsheet. None of them were connected to the CRM, and some of them didn't know each other had the tool. So we had to like get together as an organization and really align on making sure that we are in sync with one project management tool for the organization. So we did go through a consolidation process in that example, and, you know, merged the tools together and got leaders to agree, like, okay, we can use this project management tool. This is the best one to use, yada, yada, yada. But it takes time. It takes identifying that. It takes somebody raising their hand, because at the end of the day, companies don't typically catch that. So if you have a head of IT or a technology officer or something like that, and there's a procurement process, there's not always the step of shouldn't we. What they care about is, okay, we manage these tools and you have a budget to spend on it. The vendor's been vetted. We have approved the vendor. We've approved the money, but there's no should we. And this is how you get duplication. So you have a new VP joins the company and they're like, hey, we used this cool tool before. Now we're bringing this tool in. And you're going, oh, as a RevOps leader, oh my gosh, we've already got a tool like that. It's just different from what you're used to. And a lot of times these tools will get through, and then now you've created data silos without even trying, unintentionally. But now this new person who's come in, their reputation is now on. They brought this new tool in, and they're going to be dead set on making the thing work. So getting in front of that, that starts with the root cause. That starts with the C-suite, aligning on this definition of RevTech, in that if something impacts the customer journey anywhere, in any way, indirectly is the key part. Indirectly. So if it impacts the customer journey in some way where it creates friction or potentially could create friction, we need to stop and ask, should we, as an organization, should we bring on this technology? And I'll give you another example. I talked to somebody, a head of technology who uses Slack. And we love Slack. Slack's a great tool. But the company, the rest of the company, is on GChat for their chat. And of course, we can argue Slack is better. And that was this person's argument. His argument was like, hey, developers, they love Slack. I'm not going to get these guys to work for me if we don't have Slack. Totally get that. But the rest of the organization doesn't have it. So now I've gotten invited to Slack and to the other tools that we have. So now I've got a couple chats. And I'm like, first of all, I don't want to manage multiple chats because that's just too much for me to have to do. Second of all, now I've got licenses in both. And, you know, thirdly, like they're collaborating on things for deals, and that's not getting out to the other parts of the organization because they can't see it. They're not invited in those groups, and I'm not going to pay for duplicate tools for my team, sales leaders, marketing leaders. They don't need to have the second tool. So we just need to get as an organization on one chat tool. So that indirectly affects the customer buying journey, because we're creating data silos, we're creating communication silos, and we're not able to bridge through. Not to mention the costs the company is ending up paying by having to pay for two licenses and a lot of these things that accomplish the same thing. So having a RevTech strategy is important. It's not your job as a RevOps leader, but if you want to be seen as an advisor and a strategic role, not as the help desk or an admin, which ends up happening in our roles, bringing something like this forward to your organization, to your C-suite, is the way to make it happen. And these things take time. They take internal selling skills. And again, if you want to be in this role and succeed in this role, that is something that you have to master. You have to be a great internal communicator. And, you know, we're dealing with a lot of type A personalities, right? We're dealing with sales. We're dealing with a lot of rigidity, and people have been doing it a long time and set in their ways. And we have to find ways, again, to go back and to make these relationships appeal to their greed and really focus on the customer and the company. It's not about me. It's not about my agenda. It's not about your agenda. Get on the train of it's about the customer and it's about driving revenue. So these things are really important as you think about that, as you look at your tech stack strategy and working together in all these organizations. And you might be thinking like, you know, okay, so let's say I'm new in the industry. I'm only a few years into my career. Maybe I'm an analyst and I see a challenge. I see a problem. I see something that needs to happen. And I think being proactive about it and presenting things in a business case, and again, showing how you can help to contribute to not just solving a problem, but improving our positioning, our revenue generation, shortening deal cycle, whatever that is. And you have to take it upon yourself to build these relationships. The relationships start at the bottom up, right? So they're going to start with your peers. They're going to start with your peers in other parts of the organization, right? So again, it doesn't matter what your CRO, if you report to the CSO, you know, ideally RevOps, you know, it should be really have a more prominent seat at the table in the C-suite and be more of an advisory role. But I realize that's not how it is in most organizations, in 99% of organizations. And so we have to act as that advisor and start to communicate and articulate things in a way that people can receive them. And it's so important for that customer journey. So if you're in a role where maybe you're under the sales silo and you're in sales operations, but you really want to work on that marketing handoff, you know, find a peer over there, find the manager over there, make introductions. If you haven't been introduced on your onboarding, find them on the org chart, introduce yourself to product, build these relationships from the beginning, because inevitably in this role, you are going to have to work with all functions in the organization. If you touch enablement, you'll probably have to work with HR a little bit. You're going to work with marketing quite a bit, right? On creating the tools and creating the case studies and getting the data, getting the proof points and all the things that you need to provide the sellers. RevOps needs to work with enablement. And again, that reporting is never the same, right? It's not always under revenue operations. To me, it doesn't matter where it is. It's working together and getting over a lot of these challenges that we have. And, you know, I get it. Some people aren't willing to change. Some people are closed-minded and you're not going to change their mind. So you're going to do your best, do your due diligence, and just move on to the next person, because all you can do is what you can focus on. You can control you. You can control what you're putting out into the world, and that you're here to solve problems and you're here to focus on the customer buying journey. So I think, again, going back to this conversation of alignment, it's different in every organization. We need to, one, look at the structure in the organization. But again, these things may be out of your control, and deal with what you've got, but focus on the customer and who comes into play. And a great way to do that is to build out or rebuild the customer journey map. So if you think of the bow tie, the full bow tie, the SaaS bow tie by Winning by Design, I like to use that a lot if you're in SaaS, and mapping out all of your processes, where those fit, your handoff points, and then the technology that supports it, and who owns those technologies, who are the stakeholders, how can you make those relationships and work together to bring the technology together. And, you know, I'm not a fan of sticking a whole ton of technology out there. I think, again, it's about how you set it up, how these things work together. If you have a CRM, that should be their main place they're living, right? They should be living in the CRM. And all of your other tools should work really well with the CRM, to the point of, if you're an SSO company, maybe you have even a single login through Salesforce, and all of your tools are there. They're either on the App Exchange or they're highly baked into your systems where they can just simply log into Salesforce, see what they need, whether it's a marketing handoff, whether it's going off to a project management team, whether it's a current customer, you can kind of see what's going on. This is the ultimate goal. The only way that happens is, again, not breaking down silos, but collaborating effectively with silos. And you do that through communication. You can start from the bottoms up, but there has to be a top-down strategy in your company to get alignment on the customer buying journey. What happens to the customer? What technology we're bringing on, and how we really look together to work together as an organization. So anyway, I could go on and on about this stuff, but I really appreciate everybody listening. Season 2 has been fun. Looking forward to season 3. We've got a lot of great guests lined up. So thanks again, and I will see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to RevOps Unboxed. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode.